Yeah, definitely just the cover.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up,
fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, okay, we get it. Start the show.
Up the volume.
Oh, wow, you're going back. It's on your age there, brother.
Oh, man. That's fine for 80s folks, people. Late 80s.
Woo! So you went back into the time machine.
Y'all know about that. What's that, Eric B. and Rakim?
Yes, sir.
Technique,
go back. We can keep going now. We can keep going.
Never stop. We might have to start giving our listeners some old school rap.
Uh-oh. I see we in for one today with Rob. I see we in for one.
They know about Slick Rick, Eric B. and Rakim.
See?
Cool Moody.
Go ahead, Dre.
Yeah, you gotta go with.
Yeah, you said Big Daddy Kane. Come on now.
Big Daddy Kane. Ain't no ass left ever.
Don't sweat the tactics.
There you go.
What they know about that?
Yeah, no. All right, we gotta start the show for real, man.
Ain't no ass left.
That's what Rob do, man. He
smooth
like
operator,
you, man.
Come on, man.
Distract and take you down. Hey, welcome to Talking Sports with 12 Men on a Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. We want to give you a special shout out for putting
yes, sir.
Up with a knucklehead like Rob, and then also putting up with some sincere angels like JQ and myself too. Other than that, but
that's
what we do, man. We are officially ready to get the show started.
One of my famous lines is a lie doesn't care who tells it.
I'm just keeping it real, man. I mean, I'm just saying, you were knucklehead. You know, we were just perfect angels growing up, man. So that's what we do, man. So again, let's get this party started. We're talking sports with the 12 men. Let me check in with my fellas. JQ, how you feel this evening, bro?
Oh, I'm good, man. Shout out to all the moms out there. My mom, my stepmom, my wife. Living life, man. The Stripers game. You can't believe the Stripers game was over in 2 hours and 30 minutes. I was like, wow, thank you for getting me out of here. Came home with food for the family, and I'm chilling, ready to talk some sports with y'all. How you doing?
Yeah,
2:30,
man,
bro.
Because literally, it was a quick game. I'm looking at the score. I'm like, man, that's a beautiful thing. Let's check in with my other co-host, Rob Ford. How you feeling, bro?
Doing great. Ready to talk some sports. And once again, I echo the sentiments. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there as we have a special Mother's Day edition. And we're getting close to the NBA draft lottery, too. So
yeah, we'll find
I know,
out on
right?
Tuesday.
That's
yeah, I look forward to that, yeah. And, like I said, shout out to, obviously wifeys and all that fun stuff, too, dog moms, because, they're still moms, though. Still counts for everyone, too. So a lot of love for you.
Yes,
like
sir.
I said, my mom, stepmoms, everyone, too. Everyone out there, there's a lot of love for you. All right, gentlemen, let's kick this off like we always do. The number to call the show, 424-243-9519. Follow us on that aspect of Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, we got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to kick it off on this Mother's Day with some Braves talk. As always, Braves at the Marlins.
Okay.
And speaking of that two-hour game, they've been just killing it. Again, great win for my Braves today. You want to kick this off, JQ, or we kick it to Rob? It's your call, bro. I'll let you have that first say.
I can do it. I was talking about the Stripers game, but the Braves game was quick, too. But again, man, those young Braves, it seems like they just start taking turns. Like, no, you do it. Okay, you do it. No, you do it. Today, it's Enciarte with the two-run jack, to put them up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tip your hat off to them. Those young guys, I think they took three or four from Miami this weekend. They just are playing, really competitive baseball. And then you still got Freeman anchoring it down. But those young guys, Ender, and Acuna and Albies. I mean, and then, you know, you can throw Camargo in there as well. And Preston Tucker was also playing well for him. And they got a kid that plays for the Stripers named Austin Riley, who plays third base, who might be coming for Batista's job. He hit 3 home runs today, and one was a grand slam. He had 8 RBIs today. So be on the lookout for you Braves fans for that
RBIs
kid. I think he
won game. Wow.
8 RBIs, 3 home runs, including the grand slam. Yeah. Yeah, well, I witnessed it. it's just building for them. And then Newcomb as well with another solid start. Those young Braves, it was a down time period, but they did a really good job of acquiring picks and turning those picks into quality players, and it's coming to fruition for Atlanta. So, you know, I still think they're ahead of the curve. I don't know if they're going to, you know, hit a speed bump along the way, but right now, so far, so good. If you're a Braves fan, you have to be very excited for this year and the future.
Is Austin Riley ready to play, you think, coming out, or, you know, a couple of weeks here? What's your assessment?
Listen, we talked about old school. That dude had me when he came up, and his walk-up song was Hot in Here by Nelly. I said, come on, Austin Riley.
Oh.
Is that your walk-up song? Okay. You know, he's got a fantastic glove at third base, and as you see today, he hits it straight away from the field, almost hit the batter's eye. He's got a lot of power. I mean, as a young guy, he's going to have his ups and downs, you know, chasing bad pitches, but he definitely does it in the field. He has a great glove at third base, and he's got tremendous power. And, again, I told you he had me at hot in here. I said, come on, man. You went back for that one. I love it.
Nice. I used to do the walk-up music for all the Braves too, man. So I remember, man, I go back, man, just to remember, like, a lot of guys coming up from Hayward to, like, man, even Tripper had a little stint down there too. It's just great to see the guys, man. Doing the thing, man. Jordan Schaefer, I remember whenever he was kind of coming up, man. Even that kind of flamed out, but that's how far back I went as far as whenever I was with the Braves doing the stuff for them too. So
good minute.
Yeah. But again, it's always I love baseball like you, JQ. And we'll without further ado, we'll let Rob jump in here. Rob, so tell us your thoughts, Rob. Nothing gives me more pleasure to hear you talk about the Atlanta teams, man. So go ahead, Rob. What you got for me, bro?
Oh, there we go with that 2 weeks in a row, huh? Well, I think you guys covered it pretty well there. I had to cover the college basketball for the most part during the regular season, so I leave the baseball talk mostly to you all. Sean Newcomb obviously had a big start today, allowed no runs for the third straight game in a row for the Braves. I mean, that's phenomenal. Obviously, the Braves gave up 3 runs in the 9th inning, but while Newcomb was in the game, obviously he didn't give up anything. So that got them off to a great start and got the 4-3 victory on the road. Braves 6-4 in their last 10 games. Still got a game lead over the Phillies. And, of course, they have a 2-game lead over the Nationals. I think between those 3 teams, I think you're going to see a very interesting race this year. Very tight race there right there. Watching the Nationals, they got a slight lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks as we speak with a 6-4 lead.
Yep, so I've been watching that game tonight.
Definitely it's going to be interesting between those 3 teams to see if one of those 3 teams can separate themselves from the pack there in the National League East.
And the Braves thing is, can they hold off the Nationals? And can the Braves and the Phillies, being the young bucks on the corner, can they sustain it? That's my only thing for those two. Because, you can get off to a hot start, but it's a 62-game season. When you're young, you hit dips in the road, you hit that rookie wall, so to speak. So can they maintain it? The Nationals are built to win right now. And they got some injuries, you know, to Zimmerman as well. So you feel like they get some of those guys back in Murphy, that they can take that step like they're built to do for right now. They got to prove to Bryce that he wants to resign there after this year. But I'm really interested to see the Braves and the Phillies and see what they can do, if they can maintain this over the course of 162.
Yep. Good call. I have confidence, man. And like you said, if you bring in Austin Riley now, man, that's the key right there, man. I know, you know, Marcus playing good too, man. So, but, you know, I don't know. We'll have to let's see. All right, we won't torture Rob too much. Again, let's talk about Cardinals at Padres. And go ahead and take this one, JQ.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard the news about Adam Wainwright, but he said he felt some more discomfort in his elbow. And that's all bad news for that St. Louis rotation. Makes me very happy, but I don't wish any, injury on anybody. But in terms of the Cardinals, you know, they got a split, I believe, in this 4-game series with San Diego. And San Diego is miring down there near the bottom like the Reds. So if you're St. Louis, that's a blow. to split and to potentially lose Wainwright, because with that elbow, you see with Cueto going on a 60-day DL with an elbow injury. He's just mm-hmm. and Wainwright has had elbow injuries, and now he's feeling it again. That's bad for them, even though they've got young talent like Carlos Martinez in that rotation. You know, they just traded water, and you got to feel like when you play bad teams, you got to at least get 3 or 4, if not, you don't get the four game sweep. So that's probably disappointing for St. Louis fans. But I think their biggest concern is you've already lost Molina because he got hit in the family jewels, and now you lose Wainwright to an elbow. That's a tough blow. Those are leaders on your team. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond.
Mm-hmm. Rob.
Yeah, the Cardinals still only half a game back behind the Brewers, but JQ makes some good points there. We'll see how close they can remain in that race in the National League Central. The Pirates, of course, also only half game back. How about those Reds, 7-3 in the last 10 games?
I don't want to talk about it. I'm trying not to mess it up by speaking into existence. Yeah, they swept the Dodgers since the first time since August of 1976 at Dodger Stadium in a 4-game
series. That's crazy.
So, I mean, it's big red machine territory. So, yeah, I mean, but they got to go on a 20-game win streak, guys, just to get to 500. So it's hard to get really excited about it because they built themselves such a big hole that, you know, they got to do this for, like, another week and a half to just get close to 500. If you ain't 500, you can't even talk about anything else. You got to get at least to 500 before we start having any kind of discussion.
500.
Yeah, the Padres, of course, after a rough start this year, too, they're in last place in the National League West. We got a 5-3 win. Clayton Richard matches career high with 10 strikeouts and 8 strong innings. First win in more than a month, and the San Diego Padres beat the struggling Adam Wainwright 5-3.
Mm-hmm. Completed Rob Twins versus Angel.
Well, you know, the Twins, you know, still only a game and a half back. I know JQ has been bashing them on the show all year, and I mean, rightfully so. They still got a losing record, 17-19. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, but they lose to the Angels today. The Angels only a game back behind the Astros, defending world champs. Ohtani struck out 11 today while pitching a 3-hit ball into the 7th inning. Zach Cozart got a walk-off RBI single in the Angels 2-1 victory over the Twins. So. But see, the Twins, even with their record, still hanging around in the AL Central race, only a game and a half behind the Indians. And, of course, as we just mentioned, the Angels are one game back behind the defending world champs, the Astros.
Yeah, and to me, it's really interesting. I didn't really, you know, even when they signed Ohtani, I didn't know if he would be enough, right? But you got Pujols off to a good start, you know, getting 3,000 hits. Shout out to him. They still got Mike Trout. The fact that they're hanging that tough with the Astros, to me, was a shock to me somewhat. And again, Zach Cozart, the X-ray, going somewhere else and playing for a good team, you know, come on, Cincinnati. But the thing about it with the Twins is that you look at the landscape of the American League, I feel like Cleveland's starting to hit the ball better. I think they're going to start to get some separation. So if you're Minnesota, where do you fit into that landscape? And you're talking about a wild card, but you're talking about Boston and New York killing it at the top of that division in the East. And we just talked about the Astros and the Angels all over there in the West as well. So you're looking at where they fit into it. Could they beat one of those teams? Could they, you know, outlast them to get one of those wild card spots? And I don't see it happening. And then Seattle was also playing really good ball, but Robinson Cano got hit in the hand today. I think he said he broke a bone and he may have to have surgery. And that's a big blow to that Seattle lineup. So I just don't know Minnesota, even if they find a way to finish around 500 with those other teams playing that well in those other two divisions, is it still going to leave them on the outside looking in? I say yes. I don't think they have enough to get 5-10 games over 500, 15 games over 500, where it may take to get to that, to get to a wild card spot.
Nice. All right. Good job, fellas. As we kind of transition here, we make our move here to the NBA, and what an interesting day. We'll talk about the Cavs and the Celtics here, but LeBron, should he complete the process in Philadelphia? Let's start with you, Rob. What say you, bro?
Well, you know, my thing is, you know, the thing about Philadelphia is, can he and Ben Simmons play together? They're similar basketball players in their style of play, obviously. Ben Simmons is not as dynamic as LeBron James is yet, but both of them want the ball in their hands and want to control the tempo of the game. You know, can they play together? I know we said the same thing about Chris Paul and James Harden going into the season, and they've seemed to be
mm-hmm.
able to coexist this. And so it'll be interesting if he did decide to go to Philadelphia, can they coexist? And I'm sure they could probably find a way to make it work. I think the way the league is set up now, though, the more ball handlers you have on the team, the better. And you're seeing mm-hmm. that with the Golden State Warriors. And you even see that with the Pelicans a little bit, and the reason why they were able to progress a little bit is having Rondo and Drew Holiday out there that can handle the basketball. So you're seeing that more and more. And obviously, I think in order for him to he's not going to get back there with his Cleveland team, let's just face it.
Mm-mm.
And so it'll be really interesting to see if he's willing to make that leap to Philadelphia. And he could be the missing piece to help Philadelphia get over the hump. But, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, can they coexist? And I'm going to say yes, because, like I said, it just seems the way the league is going now. The more ball handlers you have on the court, the better.
You know, there's so many interesting facets of that, because I look at Cleveland, and we can't discount that Brooklyn pick. Where that ends up falling, we talked about the lottery, good segue into this, where that falls, and does he get excited about whoever they end up having there, where he says, you know, maybe not totally constituted, but if we get another young, athletic, you know, defender score out of this lottery pick to pair with me, and then now we knock everybody else down a peg in the order to where Kevin Love mm-hmm. is the third option, not the sixth option, like, you know, you like to say, Dre, and then, you know, kind of put everybody in their proper place, could you do that? But also the flip side of that is when you talk about Philadelphia, I agree. I don't know, but Chris Paul and Harden, both those guys can shoot the ball. And LeBron and Simmons are scorers, but they're not shooters. And there's a distinction in that you can't sit there and play them off on that weak side on the three-point line and kick it to them and think they're going to hit at a 38-40% clip from the three-point line or in the mid-range game consistently without having the ball in their hands a whole lot. That, I agree with Rob, is my worry for them if he went there. And who do you have to give up? Because you can't afford J.J. Redick now if you get LeBron. He's gone. He's one of your better shooters. Can you keep Ilya Silva? Can you keep the guy they picked up from Atlanta off the waiver?
Bellinelli.
Bellinelli. You know, so you got to be able to balance that to give them shooters around there. And do you sacrifice that ability to keep those shooters if you bring LeBron James and his max salary to there where they sacrifice those others sacrifice in the pursuit of a ring? So I think most times superstars find a way to make it work, but can you fathom that front line of Embiid, Simmons, and LeBron? I mean, somebody's going to have a little trouble guarding another three on most nights because while they're big, I don't know if they're, especially LeBron at this stage of his career, is quick enough to stay in front of a three every night. But, man, those dudes would be huge on the front court. So, I mean, it's interesting to hypothesize on.
And they would need the athletes like LeBron and Ben Simmons to be able to match up with these young athletes of the Celtics, too. And So, I mean, they would need those type of players to match up with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you know, going forward mm-hmm. in the future, too. Yeah, it's going to take a team with some great athletes to be able to compete with the Celtics going forward in the Eastern Conference as well.
Yeah, the Celtics are loaded. I hate to say it, but they're loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that too, because we'll ask that too, because the Celtics, and there was a good question. I remember I was listening to the sports talk, and there was, you know, the Philadelphia guy was talking about, you know, the hire of Lloyd Pierce, and he was talking about what was wrong with the 76ers, and definitely the length of the Celtics was definitely a challenge for the 76ers. So, you know, on certain positions too, we'll talk about that too. But Embiid and Simmons, are they the next Kareem and Magic? And I'll throw that to you, JQ. What do you think? Is this a good comparison, or obviously way, way, way too early in their careers, but just, you know, if you kind of see the progression, do you think that's, you know, anything close to that would be pretty phenomenal? What are your thoughts about that?
I think Rob likes to mess with me, knowing I'm a Lakers fan, to throw that kind of comparison out.
I didn't even think about it, JQ, I'll be honest.
Yeah, he does.
Because
he does,
no, but hell no, and because it's way too early.
If it was Kobe, I'd like to mess with you. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I was reading that like, oh, come on, man. Like, here's the thing. And I'm not saying that Rob says that. I know that they're getting a lot of love nationally, and rightfully so, because they completed the process, so to speak, and they're, you got to take them for real again now. So I get that. But pump the brakes. I mean, you're talking about two super, 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 superstars. Hall of Famers. Magic Johnson, and, you know, exactly, and Kareem. So, I mean, I don't know, because Embiid and Kareem's games are so different that it's hard to kind of judge them on it. I can see the Simmons and Magic comparison because they are similar in what they do. Of course, Ben's taller, but what he, you know, Magic was never really a great shooter, but he found a way to score points and get everybody else involved, like Ben Simmons. So that one I can get somewhat, but I'm going to pump the brakes because he's had a history of foot injuries, and you never know if it rears his head, and, you know, it just might be a shooting comet that comes back down. You don't know. So I reserve judgment on that, but we got to stop with this getting captured in the prisoner of the moment kind of thing of throwing him way up into the stratosphere off of a year, like easy on the Hall of Fame comparison.
Slow your roll. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You can't make that comparison after 1 year. It's going to take some time. Obviously, I think if you're a 76ers fan, you still have to be excited about that duo going forward. Joel Embiid has a chance to be the best center in the game, especially at a position that you don't really have that many great centers in the league anymore as well. Ben Simmons, I still would like to see him improve on his game. He still has areas to improve. He still has to develop a shot. Magic Johnson eventually develop an outside shot in his game. Let's see if Ben Simmons can do the same thing as far as bettering himself going forward in his career as well. And also the passion. Magic Johnson had incredible passion for the game, and we've yet to see that. Obviously, Ben Simmons just played 1 year in the NBA, but you want to see that passion. I didn't see that passion out of Ben Simmons at LSU. I still don't quite see it out of him in the NBA just yet. I think once he gets that passion and once he gets that aggressiveness and once he gets that outside shot, he would need all of those kind of things before you can start comparing him to a Magic Johnson. And as JQ mentioned, Joel Embiid is a different type player than the Kareem. I mean, Joel can step out and hit the three-pointer, a little bit more versatile, a little bit more athletic than Kareem. Has a chance to go down if he can stay healthy. He's been one of the better centers in the game. But we'll see. I mean, Kareem did it for a long, long time.
Yes, sir.
All time leading scorer in the NBA.
And
he stayed healthy most of his career, too.
And can he get a post game? Is the thing.
Yeah.
Because the thing about it is that Ben doesn't have one. So I feel like sometimes when I watch him, they get kind of caught in that same area where they can't really do the same high-low. And I remember talking to you, Rob, on text message. We were watching the New Orleans game, and I was watching DeMar Cousins and AD both standing at the three-point line like 5-7 feet from each other through a whole play. And I was like, man, what are y'all doing? If somebody don't get their butt down low so you can do some high-low, why do you have both your seven-footers standing at the three-point line? But I feel like Philadelphia has to come to grips with that as well. Like, it's great that Embiid can do that, but somebody has to get their butt on the post and provide that spacing to where you can't collapse down. You can basically guard two people, you know, in the same area without putting the stress on the defense. They have to find a way to get that spacing together between the two of them.
Yep, I'm just going to, like, definitely agree with both you two and say hell no that they're not that case. And then, as you both eloquently said, I mean, you know, the fact that Kareem was just a dominant post player just makes him totally different. And then the fact Magic Johnson came in as a rookie, bro, played, you know, freaking center, man. You talk about carrying a team, you know, just filling in, man. So just, I mean, I haven't seen that type of, you know, just play from Simmons. This is not a knock on Simmons by any means. Just that's just how dynamic Magic Johnson was, coming in, leading that squad, doing some things that you didn't expect. I mean, obviously, you know, he can do all by himself. Just the fact that he's able to do and play all five positions. And, I mean, at that juncture, that's whenever you knew Magic had a really bright future. So, you know, again, Embiid's got a ways to go. Unless he can prove something like that and, you know, do all five and just do something crazy, then he cannot even be compared to Magic by any stretch of the imagination. So, again, not a knock on the man. Go ahead,
you know, the funny thing is Simmons is a better athlete than Magic Johnson ever was, and Joel Embiid is a better athlete than Kareem ever was, too. It's just a matter of can they improve on their games. Like I said, Magic was a basketball fanatic, and he was going to do whatever he could to make sure every year he did something better. And that's the thing. Can Ben do that? And the same thing with Joel Embiid. And do they have the enthusiasm for the game? Do they have the want, as Les Miles will say, to improve?
Uh-oh.
Not Les Miles. Uh-oh.
We ain't heard Les Miles' name in a minute, man, pulling that out.
And
that
in a good reference.
Our team had the want for victory today.
Yeah,
and a good reference. I'm listening.
I know.
Mother's Day, stand up.
Knocking on some wood.
But yeah, but in all seriousness, yeah, Ken Ben Simmons, like I said, is he a better athlete than Magic? Yes, but Magic had a drive. He had a tenacity. He wanted to improve, and he wanted to be the best. And let's see if Ben Simmons can have that same tenacity and that same one drive to improve as he goes forward in his career. And both of those
they
players,
don't have the they don't have the will of Tyler Hansbrough, though. Just remember that, man. They don't have the will.
Oh my God,
of Tyler Hansbrough.
No, you didn't.
So just remember that.
Stop it.
We used to always make jokes about
you
that.
You remember Jay? I don't know, JQ, you remember when Jay Billis said that?
Yeah. Listen, I remember
Jay
all
Billis
that.
Jay Billis said Tyler Hansbrough's got a stronger will than Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Jay Billis is crazy. Jay Billis, he loves him some Jeezy, and I love him for that. You wouldn't even know that, but he loves Jeezy. It's so random, but yeah. But, yeah, and I feel bad for Tyler. I mean, because they put all that stuff on it, but it was like, come on, man. You know that dude's not going to make it in the NBA. Just stop. Please,
I don't want to say what I really want to say.
yeah, don't say it.
So, I got to ask. So, as we, again, move on to the Celtics, and whenever we were – a lot of the – and it's early, but a lot of the commentators are pretty much picking Cavs. And the next topic about the Celtics miss Kyrie Irving, and at first you were thinking, all right, you know, maybe, but yeah, gentlemen, after this first game, I got to say this is definitely a team. Yeah, you've been calling it, JQ. This is a team versus LeBron, and the team has been just destroying folks, and they are doing it again, man. I mean, I was going to say what's up with the Celtics because you would have thought that the fact that they didn't have, you know, again, we talked about Hayward and Kyrie, the recent one, and then they're like, all right, they may have some challenges, and Philadelphia's playing well. They dismantled both of their opponents, and now it looks like they're on a mission, man. So they're not missing Kyrie by any means. While it makes for great television to see Kyrie against LeBron, unfortunately we're not going to see that. But, I'm going to say a big fat no. And will LeBron dominate the Celtics? Just key to that, no, because they are really clamping him down, man. So until they make some adjustments, I don't see it happening, bro. So go ahead, JQ. You called it, bro. Tell us your thoughts on everything, too, man.
Yeah, there's no adjustments to be made because you can't make roster movements. And I agree with you on both of those, both of your opinions on those topics. The thing about it, and I said it from the beginning, is you know you got Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart, and I'm missing the sixth person. But Cleveland
Rozier.
Doesn't have anybody. Rozier, the sixth person. I don't know how to forget about Scary Terry. Rozier. They only have LeBron.
Shaquille O'Neal called him Clifford Rozier. He went way back.
Well, yeah, he was tripping. All they have is LeBron. And you can maybe get some maybe from one of the other guys, but you don't have anybody that can match that what they do today that's going to match them every game in a seven-game series, and it's just not going to happen. And that's why I feel like Boston in five and what I saw today didn't change my opinion. I felt like what we saw today was what was going to come. They just are too athletic and too good defensively for the way the Cleveland roster is currently constructed. And to the other point, listen, Hayward, we got to stop even including him. They've had so much time to get past him, and when you have Tatum and Brown, that's going to be interesting to see how they bring Gordon back into the mix because now these guys are leading their team probably to the finals. He's got to be the one that's got to come back in now and reacclimate himself to the team and figure out his role because you can't disrupt those two guys, right? I mean, what they're doing, you're going to keep letting them do what they do. Gordon's got to find his niche in that moving forward. And they've also had enough time with Kyrie being hurt with the emergence of Rozier and getting Marcus Smart back to be able to me, that's it, almost sometimes you have too much riches, especially in that depth. I think they might lose Marcus Smart. I don't think they're going to be able to afford him. But even so you put Kyrie into there. But what does Gordon Hayward do? What do you do with him? What do you do with him in terms of what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum do? How do you take them off the floor and Marcus Smart coming off the bench? How do you take their minutes away when they're thriving with these minutes and probably going to get you to the NBA Finals? That's going to be the key for Boston next year when they get those two guys back of how do they reacclimate those two into that scenario where those guys are looking around like, we good. You know what I mean? Like, we made the finals. Like, we need you. We always need more good players, but we don't need you to come in and feel like you got to be the alpha dogs and we go back to being the pups. They're like, hey, we here. This is our team. So let's just see what Boston does.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways, if you really look at this, obviously in the playoffs, the Celtics have gotten better as these playoffs have gone along. And you look at the Milwaukee Bucks took them to 7 games. And obviously, you think the 76ers are a better team than Milwaukee, and the 76ers are going in 5 games. And, you know, there were all of us on this show were thinking the 76ers were going to go to the NBA Finals just a few weeks ago. And the Celtics just dismantled them. Well, I mean, Philadelphia was in a lot of those games. They just lost down the stretch in those games. But as far as from a 4-1 standpoint, they were dismantled. But when you look at the Celtics team, it's amazing that Terry Rozier, I think, is a better pure point guard than Kyrie Irving. Now, I'm not saying he's a scorer like Kyrie Irving, but he is, as far as distributing the basketball, getting his team involved, yeah, you almost, when Kyrie Irving comes back, you might be better off playing him off the ball a little more with Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier, to me, is a better facilitator than Kyrie Irving. And, I mean, if you go back the last few years in the league, Kyrie Irving has never been a great facilitator. He's a great scorer. And so I think in a lot of ways, the Celtics going forward, whenever they get Kyrie Irving back, they probably should play him off the ball a little bit more with Terry Rozier in the backcourt. I mean, he's been phenomenal on both ends of the floor for the Celtics team. And to me, when you look at Rozier, when you look at Tatum and Brown, those are three. Mm-hmm. Those three players have been some of the best three players in the playoffs this year. And I know we're going to get into our top 10 players in the playoffs. I have all three of those guys in the top 10 as far as who has been playing the best here in the playoffs this year. And when you look at what they're doing on the defensive end from an athletic standpoint, Cleveland just got a lot of old guys that are just spot-up shooters other than LeBron James. And you got Kyle Korver out there.
They address some pieces, though. They address some pieces, but they're not there yet. They aren't gelling. 100%. Because obviously they made some moves. Not to cut you off, Rob, but they got their little inclusion talent, but it's not enough. But go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah, but they're old white guys that's slow and he can't run.
Oh man!
Come on, you got LeVar Kyle Korver out there.
I said, come on, LeVar Ball. How you feeling? Oh, man, I wasn't ready for that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Hey, Kyle Korver is a spot-up shooter, man. Those guys are all in his grill. Same thing with Kyle, with Kevin Love. I mean,
I told you.
And the athletes on their team, they're not getting enough production out of them. Larry Nance only plays 4 minutes a day. They need him on the floor. They need some guys with some athletic ability that can play. At least give them some hustle and defensive rebounds and they're just not getting enough out of guys on their team that are athletes and it showed today. They have to make some huge adjustments going into this second game. They're gonna have to make and obviously they slowed down LeBron James pretty well today, but I also think LeBron James didn't shoot the ball very well either today. And I think it was a combination of both. Because you look at some, to me, he was leaning back on a lot of his shots today. I think if he goes back and gets some real coaching, he's got to have that vertical jump on his jump shots and can't lean back all the time on his pure jump shots. So he didn't shoot the ball particularly well today, and he also didn't take care of the basketball today either. So he didn't really play well. I think some of that's on him. I think some of that you got to give credit to the Boston Celtics defense. But he's going to have these 40-some-point games in order for him to have a chance against the Celtics teams. And Cleveland's just got to get some more production out of guys that have some athletic ability on their team, and they're just not getting that. And Boston, defensively, they're studs. Yeah, defensively, they're contesting every single shot defensively. They're running out to the three. And another thing that Cleveland didn't do well, they didn't get Boston off the three-point line. Defensively, their guys are too slow, and they couldn't get the Celtics off the three-point line in the game. And then plus their own, they were only 4 for 28 shooting the 3-point line, and a lot of that was due because the Celtics were defending the three very well, and Cleveland did not defend the three very well. They got to get the Celtics, they got to run at them and get them off the 3-point line, and they were horrible at that today.
I told you that Kevin Love and Kyle Korver were not going to be playable. I told you that when we start talking about the series that they were going to make those guys unplayable because of what you, everything that you just said. I piggyback on that 100%. They can't get their shot off because the dude's in their face, and they can't get to him to run them off the three-point line. And it's going to be hard when Kevin Love and Kyle Korver had those that great series against Toronto. But I'm with you. That's a little slight jab to Tyronn Lue, but you're right. So for real coaching and looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, these guys don't match up with them. Honestly, they don't match up. If they somehow were to come back against Boston, it would be because they ditched those two guys, and then they couldn't play them in the finals either against either Houston or Golden State. Those guys are good against the Torontos of the world. But against the for real teams in there, they can't play. And they have to come to that realization and say, if we're going to win, it's not going to be on three-point shooting. It's going to have to be on, like you said, hustle, grit, defense, you know, deflections on the passing lanes, getting out in transition. That's how they're going to have to beat Boston. They're not going to be able to have Kevin Love and Kyle Korver sit up there and get comfortable with that three-point line and shoot because it's not going to work.
And the problem is Cleveland's best athletes can't shoot. So either way they go. And Boston's athletes, they can defend and they can shoot the ball as well. And that's the problem. And I would even throw J.R. Smith in that number two. He doesn't have the athletic ability either. So, I mean, all of Cleveland's best shooters are not great athletes. And they're great. And Cleveland's best athletes can't throw the ball in the ocean.
Yep. Great point. You're exactly right. And that's why I thought they could get one. That's it. Boston five.
That's crazy. Good call, JQ. You got to give him props. And I just to kind of piggyback on that point too is like you mentioned it, and I gotta really just give a lot of credit to Brad Stevens, man. I mean, this dude is coaching his off. You know what I'm saying? So good job on him. Just being able to kind of just figure out taking LeBron totally out. And like you said, Rob, even though he had a rough game, but that was due to also to the defense that Boston threw at him too. So
absolutely. I think it was a little bit of both. I think it was Boston, but I also think he didn't shoot. I don't think he played well either.
Yeah, he didn't play well, but I'm saying, there's certain ways how if you're doing certain things, there's certain ways to get your team involved and whatever too. But like you said, it's not looking good by any stretch of the imagination. So, whether it's lack of trust or whatever, but again, it's almost like crazy how, Toronto was the number one seed. They just got dismantled. That's a psychological thing. And then, they just getting now whatever Boston just handles Cleveland. So, again, it's just been an interesting thing too. So, I don't know if there's any
Boston would have done that to Toronto too.
They would have. I know.
Yeah.
But I don't know are there any keys for Boston to beat Cleveland besides that, or – you want to talk about that in the wrap-up? We've got about 7 minutes left in the show here, or what, man? So we get OT.
What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, any keys?
Can they make any adjustments?
What are the keys, for Boston to beat Cleveland? I don't know if that's even a question at this juncture. I don't know.
No,
he proves that they
covered that.
I think for the
Go ahead.
If Boston is going to win this series, they're going to win it with defense, just like they did today. And that's going to be the key for them winning this series. I mean, they got it done on the defensive end, and they scored a lot of points off of Cleveland's turnovers, too. So they're lent and contesting shots, getting in the passing lane, hustling, and you just didn't see that from Cleveland. You didn't see Cleveland contesting shots. You didn't see them in the passing lanes. You didn't see them getting Boston off the three-point line. It's going to come down to defense. And as we talked about, Cleveland's going to have to make a decision. Do we want shooters on the floor, or do we want our best defensive players on the floor? And they probably would be better off trying to get their best defensive players on the floor for the most part in this series if they're going to have a chance against the Celtics.
Yeah, it's crazy. We talked about what Boston has to do. And because of LeBron, what they would have to do to stop him, it's really what Cleveland has to do. And like we said, I won't belabor it. We talked about it. What Rob just said is perfect gold. It's exactly right. They have to almost abandon what they've been doing in the regular season in terms of getting up and down, shooting threes, feeding off LeBron, and because those two guys I talked about can't play. And he's right. Their replacements can't shoot. But you've got to find a way to muck up the series and make it a nasty first team to, you know, old school New York Knicks, Miami Heat kind of series. First team to 90 wins. They basically have to do that because they're not going to outshoot Boston. They've got to get out there and hustle and grind and bump and all those good things and make it a real ugly game. That's their only chance. That's the only chance moving forward. If they somehow get past Boston, they have to do the same thing to either Golden State or Houston. Kevin Love and Kyle Korver can just go ahead and just start handing out towels. They're only coming in when somebody needs a blow or a mop-up duty or whatever. Yeah. So that's just what it is.
And Kevin Love might be finally be the fifth option, like Andre said.
4 minutes. I don't care about y'all. Yeah. I don't care about y'all.
You called it 2 years ago, Dre.
There you go.
Just ahead of your time.
Oh, man. 4 minutes and 30 seconds. I knew one day I would come to fruition. Hey, we got 4 minutes left here. Kawhi, what's up with your boy attending the Dodgers game, man? Is that a good look, a bad look? You trying to say something, Rob? What's up with that?
I think it's he having fun on his own time. I don't necessarily see anything wrong with that, but, hey, we all know who's a part owner of the Dodgers. It's no secret. Magic Johnson is a part owner of the Dodgers. He also runs basketball operations for the Lakers. Kawhi Leonard at a Dodgers game. Are you putting two and two together? Is there tampering involved? Is Magic Johnson trying to lure him to the Lakers? And I think if you look at it from that aspect, it's not a good look if you're a Spurs fan. But if he's just attending the game, having some fun, and that's another story. He can do that on his own time. But I think a lot of people are looking at the aspect of him going to a Dodgers game. Magic Johnson is a part owner. Is he entertaining them? Is he trying to wine and dine them? We'll have to see. I think on the surface, when you look at it from that perspective, it's not a good look. If you're the Spurs organization, and is he looking
come
to leave?
Come on, man.
And there's already talk that the Lakers are definitely interested in trying to find a way to get him in a Lakers uniform. So we'll see what happens on that front. But I think if you look at it on that surface, it's not a good look from the Spurs perspective.
But Pop is already on record as saying he would never do anything to help the Lakers and never help a Western Conference rival. So I think that's out of it. But we all know that Kawhi Leonard is from Los Angeles, right? Like, he's from Los Angeles. So he could be a Dodgers fan because he's from Los Angeles and just has been a Dodgers fan since he was two.
Yeah,
like,
Rob.
That is possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, everything else is because of the sensationalism of it, with him going because of Magic Johnson and the Lakers and all the scuttlebutt. I get that. And then maybe there is something to it. I'm not going to say there isn't. But I'm also looking at a dude that might like baseball that was from L.A., and if you're from L.A. and you like baseball, who would you root for? You would root for the Dodgers. So he's off, and he said, hey, I'm back home visiting, doing whatever, whoop-de-whoop, it's L.A., I'm going to a Dodgers game. Like, it really could just be that. So I think sometimes we like to read the tea leaves, and sometimes things are there, but sometimes it's just that guy's from there. So it's like it's no different than Paul George was going to the game to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's from L.A. He might be a Dodgers fan. He might just be going to the game because he's got free time and he likes baseball. But we're always going to put that other sensational piece into it. It makes for good, you know, TV news and fodder. But for right now, I'm just going to look at it. I know Papa's not going to make that trade. And I'm looking at it like, if he was from New York, I'd be like, okay, come on, bro. But he's from L.A., so he could be a Dodgers fan.
All right, we got 90 seconds, Rob. Set it up for the OT portion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we can't give you our OT portion of the show live. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We still got a lot more NBA basketball to cover here. So make sure you click on the same link. You get that information on tomorrow. Let us know if you like the show. Let us know. Give us some feedback. You agree with this, disagree with this. But once again, we'll be on to you can click on the same link on tomorrow to get our OT portion. We'll be back to you live next Sunday night. We're back on next Sunday night again. May 20th, next Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss the show on next Sunday. We'll get you caught up on the Eastern and Western Conference Finals here in the NBA. We'll get you caught up on some mini camps, rookie camps in the NFL. Get you caught up on some previews for college football and, of course, Major League Baseball. We got a lot to cover. You don't want to miss it. Join us next Sunday night. Good night, people.
come on, Tampa Bay. Like, I'm not a Lightning fan, but I don't like the Capitals. You can't go down 0-2 in that Eastern Conference Finals. You got to do better than that. I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. I'll throw a little hockey in there for our, 0.105% of people who are actually tuning into the NHL hockey playoffs. But
Canadian listeners.
There you go. I appreciate everybody that's listened to the show. Like Bob said, download the link. We'll be back again talking about it. We're getting ready for this NBA lottery. Don't want to miss it. Love y'all. Good night.
Yes, sir. We're official in the OT portion. I was going to say send all your emails to Rob Ford at Talking Sports, but I'm just kind of messing here. But, hey, I would prefer – I was going to, give him a snippet to say I'd love to talk about NBA mock draft coverage here because I'm actually excited about this, man. So if that's okay, we'll see if we can get the other topics in. But I'm really excited to talk about some mock draft, especially – since the lottery is 2 days away. And just to kind of, set the stage for you guys because, if you listen to the radio here in Atlanta, where everyone's freaking out because the chances of us getting that everyone wants, the top four. They're if the top five pick is, it's pretty much a loss for us. It's the most devastating thing. And I would venture to say, if you think about it, Donovan Mitchell, not say that, again, that we're going to get a player like that. But he was the 13th pick or something like that? 13 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So, there's always options.
Somewhere 13 or 15, I can't remember.
Yeah. And then, not to pick on, your Lakers, but Lonzo Ball was number two. So it just goes to show you it doesn't really matter. It's not really an exact science as far as who you're – it's just getting that player that's going to hit the, impact. So for Hawk fans out there, again, let's not freak out because they're we got to get, top four bust, if you will. But – in my vantage point, again, it's just getting the right player, and we've got four to kind of choose from. So, again, we got to hit, whether it's Anthony Simmons, later on, whether it's, I like Colin Sexton. Even though I know we talk about this, Bagley and whatnot, I don't know enough about your boy from overseas, Doncic. I don't know enough about him. I still like Porter because of what he's got, but then, the bad back. And a guy is Jalen Brunson in the second round, but that's just me, man. So, Rob, I'd love to get your feedback. I threw out a lot of names at you, but I just like Jalen as far as what he's done. As far as being that tough guy, I have no clue how he's going to transfer into the league, and if he's very similar to Colin Sexton. But just kind of give me your thoughts on some guys, and again, the draft lottery is 2 days away, and tell me your thoughts about those guys and. If there's a superstar in the draft, if you think that kind of we can kind of, follow, if you will. So there you go. Sorry about that. It's kind of long-winded.
Well, I actually think there's a lot of potential, a lot of guys in this draft. And if you look at DeAndre Ayton from Arizona here, 7 feet one, athletic, that can run the floor. Obviously, he still needs a little bit more coaching from an offensive standpoint. But when you talk about defense and defensive rebounding presence, shot blocking presence, and if he can give you 17 to 22 points a game in the future here in the NBA, to me, he's the stud in this draft. He is the number one pick at the moment. Jaren Jackson from Michigan State and Marvin Bagley. Mm-hmm. I think Bagley is a little bit more polished offensively. He probably is not going to be the defensive stud that Ayton is going to be from a shot blocking perspective. But I think Bagley might at this point might be a little bit more advanced from an offensive perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are right there as well. Michael Porter Jr., obviously, coming off the big injury here, another one that still has a lot of potential once he gets back healthy. So from a ball handling standpoint, he can do a lot. Right now I have him going five to Orlando. I have DeAndre Ayton going one to Phoenix. Bagley going three to Dallas. And Jaren Jackson going number four to Atlanta. Some other guys. Mikal Bridges.
Oh, no.
I have him going number nine to the Knicks. He also could be a solid player. Colin Sexton. I have him going number 10 to Philly. You're talking about
–
Ben Simmons, you're talking about Joel Embiid. If you can ever get Markelle Fultz on board and you get a guy like Colin Sexton, the Sixers have an opportunity to still improve. They have two first-round picks in this draft. They have four second-round picks in this draft. They have a ton of draft picks in this draft. If they can just hit on a couple of those, they still have an opportunity to really help them going forward with, you know, with trust in the process as well.
Process.
Yeah. some other intriguing players, Zaire Smith. He's like a 6'3", 6'4", combo guard from Texas Tech. I'm going 16 to Phoenix. He has an opportunity. He is a very similar player, in my opinion, to Victor Oladipo. About that same size, athletic ability, could be an underrated player in this draft that could surprise some people. Mitchell Robinson, 7-foot center from Western Kentucky. Another guy that can jump out of the gym, great athlete for a 7-footer. A lot of potential, still a little bit raw. Have number 18 in San Antonio right now. So that can be intriguing. Anthony Simmons, as Andre just mentioned, I am going 21 to Utah. He's a 19-year-old high school senior, so he is eligible for the draft. So another guy that could be very intriguing as well.
He's not ready.
And you mentioned Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson obviously doesn't have the athletic ability that typically NBA teams are looking for. But if you're looking for a smart, heady player, I think he has a chance to be a guy that can come off the bench and really help you in the next level. I don't envision him being a starting point guard or a superstar point guard in the NBA, but I envision him being a guy that can come off in the second unit that can give you about 10 to 15 minutes a night that can help you in the pinch. But I don't envision Brunson being a guy that could lead a team and be your starting point guard that can help you win the title.
Appreciate that, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we talk about it, but I really like Wendell Carter from Duke. I just feel like, you know, Bagley, I think, is a stud. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like Bagley sucks all the air out of the Duke room, and you kind of feel, you know, forget about Wendell Carter. And say Chicago takes him, and you put him with Markkanen, I mean, that's a really big, skilled front court for Chicago. I mean, I think they would love that. They would run up there and turn that in. Sacramento with Trae Young. I think you have to look at it and say, what do you do with Buddy Hield and they got also had a rookie they just drafted high this year.
De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. So what do you do with those two if you take him? I also like Miles Bridges from Michigan State. I mean, I think that's a nice shot in the arm if Charlotte were to take him. And then I look down at the bottom of it for my Lakers, and you guys take Gary Trent Jr. and it's like, yeah. But I'm looking at DiVincenzo and Bates Diop. I mean, we saw what Dante can do. Dante's Inferno, he can just get going and just fill it up and become a microwave. And Bates is a Swiss Army knife. So I would hope that my Lakers wouldn't pass on one or two of them. I would prefer those two over Gary Trent Jr. But like you said, there's a lot of potential. There's a lot of bust potential, too. It's so volatile to me with this. And then you talk about Ayton. Going to Arizona and then playing for Phoenix, the amount of pressure on that kid, I just hate to see that for him. And then you talk about Zaire Smith, but you just drafted Josh Jackson. So, you know, and you've already got Booker. So what do you do then? So it's going to be real interesting to see if teams stay true to their draft board or if they go for need and pass up somebody that could potentially be really good, but they feel like, I've already drafted this position in the past couple of drafts, so I'm going to go – in a different direction and then miss out. So it's going to be really fun and intriguing to see what happens.
Yep.
I got you.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that Wendell Carter is another guy that's a real sleeper in this. Well, not necessarily a sleeper, but a guy that could be a stud at the next level as well. There is definitely a lot of talent in this draft. There are a lot of talented basketball players in this draft. The question is, will they make that transition? There's a ton of talent. I mean, you look at, I have Cleveland at number 8 taking Mohamed Mbamba from Texas, another guy that's to me has an opportunity to be a Clint Capella type of player from a rebound and a defensive standpoint that has slowly improved offensively. He has that type of potential as well to be that type of player, in my opinion. So there's a lot of potential in this draft for sure.
Uh-huh. Rob, I'm just going to say really quickly that, you talked about Ayton, you know, the number one pick from Arizona. And again, I saw him play in the tournament, and I know it's tough to make a small sample size too, but at the time I was not totally impressed with him. So
I just felt a little bit more passive at the time, too, for a guy that had that much talent. So, again, maybe it was just, like, the one bad game. The games that I watched, it just wasn't, like, I didn't think this guy was, I'm like, wow. I mean, you talk about potential all the time, too, but it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, is he, like, a superstar? I mean, or is he, I mean, he's not an Anthony Davis for sure, but it's like, you know, for number one pick, you need somebody in that caliber, too. So, I don't know. I don't see it, and we don't know enough about, you know, Luka Doncic as well, too. So it's all this potential like you talked about, you know?
Well, here's the thing. When you look at, and this is from an NBA scout's perspective, the college game and the NBA game is very different. The NBA game is a lot more spacious, where the college game is a lot more compact. And so for a guy like DeAndre Ayton, his skill set will be, and his athletic ability will be better used on the NBA level than it is on the college level. And and you saw this even when Shaquille O'Neal was in college. The NBA game is more of a spacing game. You can spread out the floor a little bit more, which will allow even a guy like a Shaq to do more damage in the NBA level than he could. Not to say he didn't do any damage on the college level, but his game, his athletic ability is more of a strength on the NBA level than it is in a college level. And I think you'll see the same thing with DeAndre Ayton. I'm not saying he's going to be Shaquille O'Neal, so let me just put that out there.
Rob said it.
I didn't say that. But from an athletic he has the same type of athletic ability that Shaq had coming out of college. And he's not going to be as dominant as Shaq from that standpoint. But as far, I think he has the potential to be a 17 to 21 point game, and I think he's got a potential to be a 13 to 14 rebound game, and I think he's got a potential to get you 2 to 4 blocks per game. I think he has that type of potential, and he has a potential that can control the defensive end of the floor for his team and be that defensive presence for his team. I think he will be in a more advanced DeAndre Jordan. From an offensive standpoint. But he'll be a rebounder and shot blocker like DeAndre Jordan is, but he's going to give you more on the offensive end of the floor, too.
I tell you what, Mamba won't be enough to make LeBron stay in Cleveland.
No,
that
he
won't.
Won't
be enough.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he wouldn't be. Mm-mm. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's not a bad player, but if you're LeBron talking about, okay, I'm going to see what they do, I just don't see that being enough to move the needle to make him stay. I know that LeBron loves Mikal Bridges from Villanova as well. He talked about it and called him a baby Millsap. So it'd be real interesting to see how that goes down. It's interesting you got them paired back to back. If that happens, I would love to be a fly on the wall somewhere where LeBron is watching the draft.
I don't think any of these rookies will be the reason that LeBron stays in Cleveland. If he stays.
If they get Sexton, if they were somehow to get Sexton, I think he's the only one right there that would intrigue him and look at him like, do I want to leave maybe a potential, you know, poor man's version of Steph Curry? Like, that's the only one, really. You're right. You know, because I don't think any of the other ones like Bagley or Ayton will fall down where he's like, yeah, for sure. But if he's sitting there and they end up with like the 6th to 8th pick, depending on where Brooklyn falls, And they take Sexton, that he might be the only one. And I agree with you, you know, almost 100%, more like 95%. That other 5% is Sexton. Young from Oklahoma. I think he might look at him and say, man, this dude might just be a knockdown shooter. He might be exactly what I need. Outside of that, I agree.
All right, gentlemen, that was some good conversation. Thank you for indulging me. I know the draft lottery is Tuesday. We'll know exactly where everything's happening, so we're going to be excited about that here. Rob, we'll go ahead and kick your topic here as far as the best 10 players. I didn't mean to skip that in the playoffs so far, and we'll talk about LeBron in Houston and Philly and a little Chris Paul and James Harden as far as beating the Warriors here. So we'll talk about your 10 players, Rob, a little quickly.
Well, I think so far, obviously before today, it was hands down LeBron James was the best player in the playoffs. Obviously, today's performance knocked him down a little bit, but you still have to include him, I think, basically for what he's done up until this point. Then, obviously, you have to include James Harden and Chris Paul for carrying the Houston Rockets Chris Paul put up 40-something points in the Clemson game victory to get him to his first conference finals. So you have to include those two in the mix. I think Golden State has been such a team effort that the only guy I'm going to put in the top 10 is Steph Curry didn't play in the first round, so I don't have him in the mix. The only guy I have from the Warriors is Kevin Durant. But they've just played so well together as a team for the most part. And of course, Curry missed the first round, so he's the only one I have in the top 10 from the Warriors. And I kind of teased a little bit with the Celtics, but I have three Celtics on here. I have Jaylen Brown, Rozier, and Jason Tatum. I love what all three of those guys have done here in the playoffs, and you've seen those three guys grow up here in these NBA playoffs. I mean, Jason Tatum averaging, what, 23 points a game against the Sixers. Jaylen Brown, fairly similar. And when you look at all the things Rozier has been doing in the series, from defending from the defensive standpoint, knocking down clutch three-pointers, facilitating his team as well. Those three guys are really growing up on this team. Donovan Mitchell from the Jazz, I have him on there as well for what he's done. I mean, he practically carried Utah into the second round of the playoffs, practically himself as a rookie. And then I have two Pelicans. I have Anthony Davis and I have Jrue Holiday.
Of course you do.
Obviously, for what they did to sweep Portland. And they both still played well against the Warriors. They just didn't have enough help on them as far as overseeing beating the Warriors. And I don't have Embiid and Simmons on here. Obviously, Embiid missed some games in the first rounds. I think Simmons did not play particularly well in that series against the Celtics. And so I don't have either one of those guys in my top 10.
Whew. Yeah, I mean, I would agree with we give Rob a lot of hard time, but I would agree with Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday. And I was texting about it. Jrue Holiday introduced himself to the casual NBA fan that didn't know about him if you weren't playing fantasy or just wasn't all the way into it. So I would give him those two. I agree with the three from Boston, so that's five. LeBron is six. I'm going to say something blasphemous, and I know it's blasphemous, but I haven't been, outside of the one game, I haven't been super impressed with Kevin Durant. His outside shot has not been falling. He's not been the tenacious defender we saw throughout the whole course of the regular season. I agree. I think they played well as a unit, but for me to single him out specifically, I personally am not going to do it. I was really, really impressed with Oladipo in that first round. I really was. I mean, they got beat by LeBron,
that's true, yeah.
But he was a man in that first round. So that's the one I was like, I kind of would like to include him in that. I would have included Simmons, but he just didn't have a really good second round, so it kind of took him down the spot. So I would agree almost with all of that, but I would take out Durant. I would put in Oladipo. I don't think that was Oladipo's fault. Oladipo was a man against Cleveland in that seven-game series.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, good call. All right. Kevin Durant's presence just alone just allows him to kind of like, you know, even just having him out there making, you know, just being out there, just like Steph, you got to change your whole defense.
Yeah, but you watch the games, though.
Yeah,
but you watch the games. Like, his three-point shooting has not been great. He had one game where he came out, he took over in that New Orleans series. But outside of that, I'm looking like,
his presence enough is enough. He's still, you know, a dynamic player, too, so you got to count for him,
100%.
But, yeah.
No
yeah,
doubt.
So, yeah. Here we go. There's a 10 here. Let's talk about some we're wrapping this up here. LeBron joining Houston. I guess Rob's going to put LeBron in different places. Houston, L.A., you know, there's options as far as that. With, you know, I don't know if I can talk here, Kawhi or Paul George is even going out there too. So, but, yeah, Houston, is that a good fit, I guess, Rob?
Well, I mean, we talked about it again. Harden and Paul like to have the ball in his hands, and so does LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just the way the game is going. When you have that kind of flexibility from an offensive standpoint, I think it drives defenses crazy now, is what you're starting to see, and that's where the league is heading from that perspective. So I actually think it could be a good fit for LeBron. And personally, I think if LeBron James really wants to win more championships, he's going to have to go somewhere and take less money. I think he's going to have to say, hey, I mean, I'm already making $100 million a year when you're looking at endorsements. If I want to be, if I want to win more championships, he's probably going to have to partner up with some teams and take less money. And he's just going to have to make that decision. I'm still will be shocked if he leave Cleveland. Be personally, I think he's kind of got to the point where he's just going to deal with it and make, try to make the best of the situation as best as he can.
Yep.
So I still don't see him leaving. But I think if he does go for the route of joining a team for a championship perspective, I think he's going to have to realize that, hey, I already make $100 million a year. And I can go somewhere and take a $4 or $5 million salary and still be well off and compete for a championship. So he, if he does, he's going to have to decide, well, is it Houston? Is it Philadelphia? And it's crazy. If you, hey, y'all can call me crazy, call me for dreaming. But he got, you even got to consider New Orleans in the mix. When you got Anthony Davis, Cousins, Drew Holiday. And, I mean, you have to include even a team like that as well. I obviously, I don't think a team like Boston is in the mix. I think they're pretty set. But, I mean, there's a lot of teams that he can look at from that perspective. I think it's hard to include the Spurs in that mix now, too, with the situation with Kawhi Leonard. So I think really there's only two or three teams now that he really can focus on if he decides to leave Cleveland.
Well, yeah, we talked about the draft pick, but let's not mistake the fact that he and Dan Gilbert have a terrible relationship, and LeBron came out and stumped for Hillary Clinton, and Dan Gilbert is a staunch Trump supporter. And the where LeBron is right now in his life, I think he's done in Cleveland. I really do. Unless somebody falls to him or the lottery ball shake up where he's like, this is just too good to pass up, I just think that frayed relationship is going to cost him in Cleveland. So for me personally, I'm ruling Cleveland out of it. And I agree with Rob on this point, though, that he can't say that I need to be a max player, because if he goes to Houston, you max three of those guys out, then you lose your ability to have those shooters. You can't afford Eric Gordon. You can't afford Ariza. You can't afford Anderson, even though he's not playing right now. But, you know, during the regular season, if he can stay healthy, those kind of guys, Capello, when it's going to be time to re-up him, it's going to be hard to keep all those guys on the team. So I'm like, you can't go and try to get a max salary if you're LeBron, if you're talking about winning championships. You know, unless, like I said, unless something falls in their lap in Cleveland in the draft, to go somewhere else, he's going to take less money so he can keep a good supporting cast around him. And that's what's going to come down to. So on that point, I would agree with Rob. I don't think he's going to come down to $4 or $5 million a year, though. It's not going to be nowhere near that. It's going to be somewhere where it's like $18 to $20 million, where he leaves $10 million on the table for, you know, that three-point shooter or whatever. But I don't think he'll ever go that low. I think he's still about that paper and trying to own an organization when he's done playing. In order to be able to own an organization, you need all them M's in the bank account. Shout out 21 Savage. But, yeah, you're going to have to do that. So I don't think he goes that far down the road in terms of taking less money. But he can't say it's either $20 to $30 million or I can't play. I just don't think that's going to get him a title.
There it is. All right, gentlemen.
Yep, it's going to be very interesting, but I still believe, I don't think anybody in the draft is going to help him win a championship next year in Cleveland. Not next year.
Probably not. Probably not. I could agree with that.
There it is. There it is. I agree too. All right, let's wrap this up here. Do Chris Paul and James Harden need to be at peak performances to beat the Warriors in this series, Rob?
Oh, yeah. They have to be a peak performance, and so about just about everybody else on the roster. They have to be a peak performance in order for them to beat Golden State. They're going to have to get it done on both ends of the floor. They're going to have to try to find a way to match up with Golden State. They're going to have to try to find a way to get the Golden State off the three-point line. And we talked about this on some previous shows. When Steph Curry's in a game, they have to extend their defense out so far because his range is almost unlimited. And, I mean, you have to stretch – whoever's on Steph Curry really have to stretch out all the way to wherever he is just because his range is unlimited. They have to run at these guys and get them off the three-point line if you're going to have any chance. So they're going to need to bring it on both ends of the floor, and they're going to have to knock down open three-pointers as well. And I can't see Houston winning this series. and they'll be lucky if they win two games. But in order for them to win, as we just talked about, they're going to need a lot more than James Harden and Chris Paul. I mean, they're going to need everyone. They're going to need Eric Gordon. They're going to need Ryan Anderson. They're going to need Clint Capella. They're going to need everyone on this team playing above what their normal contribution is. And that's just the bottom line. I don't see it happening, but that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, and I throw Trevor Reason to that mix as well. He's going to have to be on another level. Listen, James Harden and Chris Paul are going to have to go Super Saiyan. And I don't know if anybody on here watches Dragon Ball Z or used to watch Dragon Ball Z.
Yep,
but they're going to have
yep.
to go to another level. Like when you're saying 40, they're going to have to combine, I think, on most nights for like 70 points between them. And then yep. those people you talked about, the others, the Capellas, the Arizas, the Gordons, they're going to have to, you know, get in another 50, Anderson. They're going to have to do that because it's going to take about 115 to feel comfortable to be Golden State. It's going to take about 115. So if you talk about Harden and Paul going for 70, where do those other 45 come from? That's the key for Houston. I don't know if they can consistently do that against Golden State, but that's what it's going to take.
Harden's going to score 100 by himself is what he's trying to do.
I'm super saying they're going to have to go down to they're going to go to a whole other level between the two of them. And like Rob said, absolutely correct. The others are going to have to find a way to put the ball in the bucket consistently and play defense, rebound, block shots, deflect passes, transition basketball to not get those easy look, easy open threes before the defense can be set. They're facing a monumental task in knocking off Golden State, even with home court advantage.
Monumental.
Yep. Who does Golden State put on Harden? Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant?
I will put Klay on him.
Yeah. And I think Klay can cause Harden some problems too on that end of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Because you let Kevin Durant coach a little bit on defense by playing him against Capella. Capella's tough on defense, but offensively Capella's not that guy. So Kevin Durant can save some of that energy guarding him, so to speak. You got to battle him on the boards, but you don't have to worry about Capella dropping 30 on you. Is my point. He can save some of that defensive energy to use it on the offensive end. That's why I would put Klay on Harden. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what Steph is going to do with Chris. I mean, they may have to switch down. They may have to go Kevin Durant and Klay on those two. It's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, Curry's going to have to do something with Chris Paul, though. He's going to have to at least try. They're going to try it first. And if that don't work, then you'll see that switch where they go big with Klay and Kevin Durant on those two.
So I'm going to call him Klay. All right, gentlemen. Last subject here. Should Philly feel good about themselves after being eliminated, Rob?
The man want to change his name to Muhammad Ali.
Oh, man.
I'm going to call him Klay.
You're not stupid. Ha ha.
You got to be $8.
Aha! Aha! Finish that last thought here. Go ahead, bro.
That'll be $8.
You stupid.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a little fun, but we certainly appreciate you all tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Once again, we'll be back on the air next Sunday night. That'll be May 20th, next Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. in Chicago, 8 p.m. in San Francisco. You definitely don't want to miss the show. Obviously, like I said, we'll have a lot of NBA. We'll squeeze in whatever's going on in the sports world, whether it's baseball, whether it's NFL, whether it's college football, whatever sport it is. We're going to try to squeeze it in if it's big and it's happening in the sports world at that time. So you don't want to miss us on next Sunday night. Good night, people. Thanks again for tuning in.
Well, check that out. We have an event Sunday night, too. So keep that in mind. You have to, like, check that date. So anyway, we'll talk. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Philly should be happy. They should be happy with the season. I think that's a step in the right direction for them as well. Again, appreciate everybody for listening to us in the OT portion. We appreciate all your love and support. Again, shout out to all the moms out there. Hope you had a fantastic day, folks. I hope you took care of them. Whatever day we come back to you on, whether it's Sunday, whether it's Monday, whether it's Tuesday, we're going to be talking to you the real, because you know that's how we're going to give it to you the way it goes. Good night, good people. Holler to you later.
Hey, in Philadelphia, Y'all won a Super Bowl and y'all won a college basketball championship. Keep your head up.
Well, yeah,
nobody
yeah, hit him with that Tupac.
Nobody cares about you, Phil. No, I'm joking. Hey, we're having fun with this too, as well too. But again, as Rob said,
keep hope
alive.
Time,
but Jake, you said, yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it. And we're not 100% sure, like I said, because of my event next week, we may have to put that on hold for Sunday too. So I'll talk to you guys throughout the week. But again, everyone, hope you had a great Mother's Day. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure sharing the field of battle with you guys. Make sure you guys have a fantastic week. And I don't think anything big is happening. Like I said, we'll talk Tuesday, obviously. We'll keep those texts live as far as what happened in the draft lottery and all that good jazz. But, gentlemen, be good. Have a good evening. Good night.
Good night,
yes,
people.
Holler at y'all later.
Yep.